welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see so many visitors. I understand we've got a dedication. I don't know the family very well, but I'd like to welcome them. I understand that the lady of the family talks a lot, and that the husband likes West Ham United. But we welcome them anyway, the Lees family, for the dedication of their son Joshua. And all friends and family that have come this morning, it's good to welcome you here. And everyone who comes regularly, I always feel when I welcome new people, I should welcome you, because you come here every week. Round of applause, you. Good for you. Excellent, yes. Takes some doing that when I'm here up the front. We meet here this morning to celebrate. We celebrate together, of course, the birth of Joshua and how he is with us. And also we think about our own lives and how God is with us as well. But we also come to worship God. We gather together and we worship the God who we are told created us and made us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. A God who also says to us, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, says the Lord, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. God invites us to feed from him on food that will satisfy our lives completely. So let's stand together as we meet this morning and sing our first hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. The words will appear on the screen behind me. It's great, isn't it? I think I'd like to invite John up now to come and take the dedication.
Good morning, everybody. It's working. It's lovely to see so many faces and so many faces I know and so many faces I remember from being here last year and the year before and possibly the year before that as well. So it's lovely to be back here in Cottenham, even more so to do what I'm going to do now, which is dedicate Joshua. Anyone who knows me will know that it doesn't take much for me to get the excuse to hold a baby in my arms. So even coming to Cottenham to do that is a real pleasure and a privilege to be asked to do that. So today we welcome the family and friends of Simon and Kate as they come to give thanks for the wonderful gift of Joshua, which follows the wonderful gift of James, who we mustn't forget. And we join together as the community of Christ here to give thanks for Joshua and to give support and pray for the family as they bring him up. Just a brief word about dedication. Dedicating a child does not make them a Christian or keep them safe from the problems of the world. We dedicate a child to God to thank him for the life that we see in Joshua, to acknowledge that children are a gift from God, even ones who are crying, they are a gift from God. Just remember that. And that the child, as we are, is dependent on God for our very being. We are showing that this child is a person named before God, with whose welfare and nurture his parents and we also are entrusted. In dedicating a child, we follow the example of Jesus, who was presented by Mary and Joseph in the temple. And Jesus was a friend of children. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," and took them in his arms and blessed them. And in this case, we are those arms of Jesus as we welcome Joshua and dedicate him and bless him. And we come to ask for wisdom, strength, and patience for Simon and Kate as they bring up Joshua before God, and James as well, of course. Just a quick reading. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Just a little prayer. Father, we just thank you for all the children that are in this church this morning. We thank you for them, thank you for the gift of them, and we do pray that you enable the parents of them all to be able to show them something of this love of Jesus who wanted to take little children in his arms. Amen. Can I ask Simon and Kate, who's already here, and Joshua and James, or Superman, should I say? Can you fly, James? No. Superman. Pardon?
Superman.
Oh, Superman. Oh, sorry. Is this working? Oh, it's not on. No, that's right. That's better. That one was working. Right, okay. Quite right. Okay, now. Oh, golly. I'm repeating. Simon and Kate, let me do that, it's easier. Simon and Kate, you've come to thank God for the gift of Joshua. You've come to dedicate yourselves as parents to care for him, to teach him and to bring him up, to learn of Jesus and to encourage him, to get to know him and one day truly follow him. Simon and Kate, do you thank God for the gift of your child and do you accept the responsibility of being a parent, including the joys and the difficult times? This is what you say.
We do.
Good. You could say it louder. Will you make every effort with God's help to live in a way that does not hinder, but will be a good example to Joshua? We will.
We will.
Do you promise to encourage your son to share on the life of the Christian, son to share in the life of the Christian community, and to help him discover the good news of Jesus Christ?
We will.
No, do.
Do.
You will and do, that's fine. What name have you given your son?
Joshua, Edward.
Well done. It's always a good sign when the parents remember the name of their children, okay? Now, can I ask the godparents to come up? That's Steve and Elaine and Hannah, and it would be Ed. Ed's in America, but I'm sure he's with us in spirit. He says, "Who's that strange man?" Now I can see you've got your own children, so you know what it's like to bring up children. So Stephen, Elaine, and Hannah, do you promise to support Simon and Kate as they endeavour to bring up Joshua before God? Great. Now, this is the difficult bit. Now, Joshua, hello. Hello, little boy. You're nice and cool. There, it's all right. There. It's all right. Look, see all these people. They're all looking at you. Now, can I ask you all to stand, please? There. And they've all stood for you. That can't be bad, can it? Now, I'm going to ask you a question to which the answer is, we do. And it better be. Do you, as the people of God in this place, who know and love the Lord Jesus, undertake to the best of your ability and with God's help to offer Joshua and his family your love and support, you're nosy, and to join Simon and Kate in sharing with him the Christian faith? We do. Good. Now, Joshua, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. Amen. Right. Your mother said you were a regular. Hey, said you were a regular. You are, aren't you? Let's do that. Hold on. There. See, I've had children before. Right, okay. I was going to say a prayer. Father, we do thank you for Joshua, and we thank you for Kate and Simon and James, and we pray that you will really bless them as they bring up Joshua, despite being a regular. And we just pray that you would bless them and give them all the grace and patience and love they need in bringing up this darling little boy. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, okay. You can sit down now. Right, thank you. Right, grab that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Be nice to round of applause to welcome the family. Well, that was a bit strange, wasn't it? Okay. We're going to continue to worship God. We're going to celebrate because it is a celebration. We remember that we are born because God chose for it to be. So let's stand together. We're going to have a couple of songs. Please do stand. You know, you don't have to wait for the allotted time. We're going to sing a couple of songs during which, well, we'll sing the first song, and then after the first song, the children and young people will go to their groups. If you're visiting and you want your children to go to the groups, downstairs in this room, there is a creche, and then upstairs there's two other groups, but there will be someone out there who will show you.
The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, starting at verse 24, which is now up on the screen. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
For those of you who haven't been here over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' appearance to various people after he rose from the dead, and we've now got to his appearance to Thomas, and John is going to come and speak to us about that.
Hello again. I wonder if you have ever doubted. I know I have. I doubt whether I would be able to run a marathon like Simon. In fact, I don't doubt, I know I wouldn't be able to run a marathon. Waiting for results of an exam, doubting whether I've passed, whether I'll get that promotion when I've been for an interview, whether Charlton will stay in the championship. They did, just by the skin of their teeth. Whether I should be an elder at Herne Hill, whether I'll be a good enough father to my children, or husband to Sylvia. And over the last couple of weeks, whether I would ever get this sermon done, because it's been pretty hectic. We all have doubts over many things in our lives, and it's not wrong to doubt. It's a good thing to doubt whether you should touch a live electric wire, or whether you want to walk a tightrope between two high buildings. Some people do, but I would doubt very much whether I would. And I wonder also if you ever had one of those days. I did the other day. We had a carpet delivered, which is a good thing, and it was put down, which is another good thing. But one of the doors wouldn't then open properly, as you do when you get new carpets, which are a bit thicker. So I had to take the door off and shave bits off the bottom and so on. But in taking the door off, one of the hinges broke. So I said, oh dear. Or something like that. And so I thought, oh, I'll go and get some more hinges. So I've got some more hinges. They didn't have exactly the same ones. So I had to use different ones. And of course, when I put the door back on again, the door wouldn't close. So I had to do various things with the door, put padding underneath bits of cardboard, and the door closed in the end. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good day. We thought, oh, lovely carpet down. And I don't know whether you watch Bake Off. In there, they have a signature bake. Now, my signature bake is rock cakes. And although I say so myself, they are rather good. And I have one every morning with a cup of coffee. But things don't always go to plan when you bake. Some of you will know this. And one day, those rock cakes turned out to be more rock than cakes, because I'd left them in too long. And Thomas had not had a good few days. He had seen the one he loved and followed die in an inhumane and cruel way on a cross, branded as a criminal. He had been taken down and buried in a tomb. Thomas thought that was the last time he was ever going to see Jesus, at least alive. He doubted whether Jesus could be alive, despite Jesus saying he would rise on the third day. Now, the first we hear of Thomas is in the list of disciples we read in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not give such a list. Now, Thomas is Aramaic for twin. In case you're wondering who I'm smiling at, there's a little girl walking across the front. Whether you think I've gone mad. Thomas is Aramaic for twin, and Didymus is the Greek equivalent, meaning twin. Now, we don't hear or know anything about Thomas's twin, or whether in fact that was just a nickname, or whether he did have a twin. We just don't know. We next hear of Thomas in John's Gospel, and it's the story of Lazarus. Jesus had been told by Mary and Martha that the one you love is sick, obviously hinting very strongly that Jesus should come and heal him, because she knew that Jesus had the power to heal those who were sick. But for some reason, Jesus did not go straight away, but waited. Why, we don't know. But he went to Lazarus. It would mean going to Judea, where the Jews had already tried to stone him. Going there would mean that Jesus was probably going to his death. So the ever happy Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So he, not the most expectant of fellows, not the most hopeful of fellows, but it was someone declaring he would follow Jesus no matter what. He would follow Jesus, even if it meant his own death. So there was something about Thomas that was good. He was a faithful disciple. Now, we next hear of Thomas listening to the teaching of Jesus, where Jesus was teaching that he was going to prepare a place for his disciples. At this, Thomas said probably what all the others were thinking, but were too scared to say, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Now, if Thomas hadn't asked that question, we would never have had one of the most well-known and quoted sayings of Jesus, because Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this Thomas was a faithful follower of Jesus, someone who would follow Jesus no matter what, even if he was not entirely sure who he was following or what would happen as a result. And Thomas was following in a long line of people who doubted. And let's be clear that although Thomas, the one who said, unless I see these wounds, the other disciples were not exactly giants of faith. When the women ran back to the disciples and told them that they had seen the empty tomb, and they'd seen the angels, and they had their message that Jesus had risen, the disciples did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense, not exactly an act of faith. And Jesus himself had some doubts. Christ spent an anguished night in prayer. Jesus fell with his face on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And on those words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then, if even Jesus and the disciples had some doubts, then surely Thomas and we also are permitted to doubt. But Stephen, poor fellow, is the one who gets it in the neck, forever to be known as doubting Thomas, the one who would not believe unless he was given concrete proof, unless he could see Jesus himself with his wounds in his hands and side. Now, Thomas wasn't with the disciples the first time Jesus showed himself to them, on the day of resurrection, that first resurrection Sunday, that first Easter Sunday. And we don't know where Thomas was. Another thing we don't know. Lots of things we don't know about the Bible, and there's some questions I've got when I get to heaven. But perhaps he was on an errand. If he was, he was very courageous, because the others were behind the locked door for fear of the Jews, we read. So what does Jesus do in this case of extreme doubt? Jesus does what he always does. He meets us where we are, where we are at. He meets us with our frailties, with our sins, with our doubts. And so Jesus came to see the disciples again a week later. I mean, again, something else we don't know. What was Jesus doing in that week? And what were the disciples doing in that week? Were they behind the door all week? I don't know. We don't know. And again, there'll be questions asked when I get to heaven. The door was locked as before, but locked doors could not stop the risen Christ from entering the room. So Jesus enters the room and says, as he had said the previous week, "Peace be with you." But then Jesus immediately addresses Thomas. He clearly knew what Thomas had said and the doubt that filled his mind and heart. So he showed Thomas his hand and side and said, "Touch them, stop doubting and believe." Now Jesus did not show impatience with Thomas, nor was he angry because of Thomas's demands. Just notice what Jesus did. For every demand of Thomas, Jesus gave a command to Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands," Jesus said, "See my hands." Thomas said, "And put my fingers where the nails were," Jesus said, "Put your fingers here." Thomas said, "And put my hand into his side," Jesus said, "Reach out your hand and put it into my side." Thomas said, "I will not believe it," Jesus said, "Stop doubting and believe." And this is what Thomas did. He stopped doubting and believed. He did not touch Jesus, at least the Bible does not say he does. We again, something else we're not sure of, but simply said, "My Lord and my God." Two things that a Jew could never say to a man, because that would make that man God, and the Jews did not believe that could happen. But that is what Thomas realized, that this man Jesus, standing before him with his wounds for all to see, was God, and was who he said he was, the one who was at one with his Father in heaven, the one who was the Son of God. The great statement of faith by Thomas, "My Lord and my God," showed that Thomas had realized two things. First of all, the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus was alive and Jesus is alive, that great message of Easter, which I'm sure you have heard. But also who Jesus is. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus goes on to say, though, "Because you've seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Those of us, all of us here, who haven't seen Jesus in the flesh with those wounds, haven't seen him go through doors, haven't seen him talk to Thomas in the way he did. We believe by faith in the one we have not seen, but who has made himself known to us in many ways. C.S. Lewis, after a great search for God, said, "I gave in and admitted that God was God." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." And Spurgeon said, slightly more flowery, as he was tended to, "Faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the window which hope has opened." So we who live today live by faith in Jesus Christ who died for us. We live by faith in the fact that he is risen, that he's alive by his Spirit. He lives in us. It goes up those stairs of love which God showed in that he loved us so much that he sent his Son. And the hope, that hope which is in our hearts through the love of God in Jesus Christ. The last we hear of Thomas is when he was with the other disciples, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. He was still following his master, Jesus, still waiting to do what Jesus wanted him to do, a faithful and loving disciple. So I believe that Thomas is actually a great model to follow. We all have doubts, times when we wonder, can God be in this? Can God be here? The story of Thomas tells that Jesus will meet us in our concerns, in our doubts, in our troubles. He will be with us through them, and afterwards we will be able to say, "My Lord and my God." In the end, being a Christian is about a relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's about who you know and not what you know. In the end, Thomas came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and his God. The first time I ever got up in front of anybody to speak about Christian things was at a children's club held at a school. It was actually a school I used to go to. It was a junior school. And I shudder to think that this was nearly 50 years ago. But I can still remember the verse I spoke from. It's in 2 Timothy, and Paul says, "Because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Now, I've had doubts over my years as a Christian, but I know whom I have believed, in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. And my prayer is that everyone here this morning will be able to say with Thomas about Jesus Christ that he's my Lord and my God. Amen.
Thank you, John. We're going to sing our final hymn together this morning, which is a rousing one, I do believe, "Be Thou My Vision." And afterwards we've got tea and coffee, and you're welcome to stay. I hope those of you who come a distance are staying, because you might get some lunch too. So as we go from here, may we know God with us, that when we believe strongly and when we doubt, may we know that God is with us. May he surround us and bless us from this day on. Amen. Please do be seated.